It's just after 4 o'clock on Saturday, the 14th of June, day 29. I've got 30 kilometres to go to the Warramel Roadhouse, where I called from back near Carnarvon to see if they had accommodation. They seemed a bit hesitant at first and then said, oh, they do have basic cabins, so I think I know what I'm getting. I asked them what time they closed and they said 6 o'clock, and that was back near Carnarvon, where it's 120 kilometres to go. And it was then, I just arrived there, it was then 11:30, so playing it safe, I should allow myself 6 hours to do the 120k. I definitely want to get there before they close. I need to get some food for tonight and some food for tomorrow. And I just slept by the road last night, so I'm due for a shower and a lie down in a soft bed. Anyway, the wind was a following wind at the start of this leg, which made it a bit easier. It turned into a crosswind, which hasn't really helped. It makes it a little more unpleasant, but I'm going to make it fairly easily. I'll be there between 5:15 and 5:30. The road is pretty flat. It's long, low rises, crests, and then you see the next one ahead, and the land is red soil, scrub. Haven't seen any cattle, but they say they're around here. Since the last night was a bit of a trial, I was trying to get to Manildia Roadhouse, which would have been a 380 kilometre day yesterday, but the hills and the headwinds were too much to make that possible, and I stopped around 8 o'clock and had something to eat at night, and then decided I needed a couple of hours sleep if I was going to try and ride through the night. So I did that. I found a spot on the side of the road and slept for 2 hours fairly easily, although it was a bit cool. Coolest it's been for a while. Then I got up and rode another 50 kilometres to the roadhouse, which by then was closed, of course. Quite dark, except for some lights from the petrol bowsers in the forecourt. And I just found myself a little corner with a spot to sit and decided I'd have a bit of a meal, because I was definitely feeling exhausted. It had been a long day, 380 kilometres to there, and although I'd been eating and drinking regularly, my legs were stuffed, to say the least, and lack of sleep was catching up with me. Anyway, I then had a fairly surreal experience. I was sitting there in the absolute quiet. Everything apparently asleep around me. I was watching the stars, and then I heard a vehicle come along the road, and it pulled into the station at Forecourt, and it was a Greyhound bus headed from Perth to Broome. And it unloaded about a dozen backpackers with all their gear, and they just sort of stood around in the station forecourt in the darkness, shivering, waiting for I knew not what. And then another bus turned up, Greyhound bus, about 10 minutes later, from the north, going from Broome to Perth. So this is obviously the midway point. And they stopped there for a while, and then it was hard to tell in the dark, but it looked like the drivers were swapping, which I guess makes sense. And then, but the backpackers, of course, weren't going to get on a bus, which just took them back where they came from, so I couldn't work that out. And then a third Greyhound bus turned up. I'm guessing from the Coral Coast, which is quite close here. There's Ningaloo Reef, which is a fabulous reef. Just an easy paddle or, you know, walk from the shore on the west coast here. And it's also a place to see whale sharks and some spectacular coastline. Anyway, I'm guessing this other Greyhound bus was from there. And, anyway, all the backpackers got on that bus. And then all the buses revved up and disappeared, and it was perfectly quiet again. All this happened about 1 a.m. Nobody ever appeared from the roadhouse. Probably happens every night. One of those things that goes on in the world that you don't know about, but is happening somewhere. On my whole journey south along the highway from near Katherine, I've been seeing the Greyhound buses at different times each night. There must be a daily service. So no doubt some of the drivers have recognised me as well. Anyway, after my feed there, I set out for Carnarvon, which was 140 kilometres away, with the aim of getting there around 8 o'clock this morning, but my fatigue was just catching up with me. I just wasn't making progress. My legs were so tired, I was barely making 15 kilometres an hour on the road. I couldn't keep myself awake. I was wandering all over the road. There wasn't much traffic, so hardly any traffic, so it wasn't really a danger. More a danger, I'd just fall off. In the end, I thought, nah, this is silly. I need to have a sleep, so I then started trying to find somewhere to sleep, but because it was dark, originally there'd been a moon, but the moon had gone down by this stage. Excuse me. In the end, I just stopped next to the road and walked carefully off into the grass, making plenty of noise and vibrations just in case there are any snakes around. Got about 5 metres off the road. Threw down my my one-man tent and lay down my bike and got in, blew up the pillow and went to sleep and stayed there until it started to get light 3 hours later. I knew this was going to put a dent in my daily plan, but I really needed to sleep. Anyway, I got up then and rode the balance of the way into Carnarvon. Well, I didn't actually have to go into Carnarvon. It's 5 kilometres off the road. I didn't do that. As you come into Carnarvon, you cross the Gascoyne River, which is a big river up this way, and I imagine it's irrigation going on around here, but there's quite a lot of horticulture. Some fairly big banana plantations and various other kinds of fruit that I couldn't identify, all looking very healthy and green. Just in this little pocket around Carnarvon, since I left Carnarvon, almost immediately I got out of that pocket, so it's not a very big rural area. And here's where I find myself now. Quite a lot of traffic on the road. Yet another set of an oversized load with another set of porter cabins coming the other way as I speak. That's been happening all the last couple of days. Presumably these cabins are being made in Perth as fast as they can and then shipped north. And the corollary of that is it's all night going south towards Perth, there's been empty road trains flying back to pick up another load, because there's nothing to bring back to Perth from the Pilbara. What they export out of there is minerals, and that all goes onto ships at the ports up there. Certainly looking forward to getting this gear off. We've got quite a sore butt riding with two pairs of Nicks on to try and cushion it, but even that's not having much effect now. So looking forward to having a shower and getting my shoes off, which are also causing all my toes to go numb and my hands arrest. And so even though it still won't be another very long night, probably 5 hours sleep if I'm lucky, I'll aim to get up at midnight and be on the road by 1 o'clock. Those 5 hours are really looking enticing at the moment. And just being off this bike for more than 3 hours, which hasn't happened in the last 40, will be very nice. I think last night I was just barely hanging on to the idea that I could break the record. As is often the case, a bit of a sleep changes the mood a bit, but I think I still am just barely hanging on. That's it for now.